there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Good morning from the Bo. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. We're going to be joined in segment number two by Chris Sheehan. He does great work over at USA Today Sports along WTOP. We're going to be chatting with him about what he's all noticed from the first month or so of the season. A few teams that he's a little bit bullish slash bearish on. We're going to be diving in on the Tuesday card as well with him. So you're going to have a good time on that front. In the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Tuesday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline at G_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't get in any of those Twitter slash X questions today, but saw a little bit of a low scoring day out there in baseball on Monday, but it was a fun one. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
To the surprise of many, right now your top over team in all of baseball is right now the Cleveland Guardians. No shock that the LA Dodgers are there as well, but the top over team that was in action on Monday was the Baltimore Orioles. Our DK network right to pick was the Orioles on the money line, and though the offense wasn't as prolific as it has been here recently, they get the job done. 4-2, Baltimore is able to get a win. They are now 15-7 on the season, and for Baltimore, pair of home runs. So you had going off of Reed Detmers, Colton Cowser's sixth home run season. Then James McCann gets his first home run of the campaign for Detmers. Gives up 4 runs over the course of 7 innings, including those 2 home runs. From there, you had Jose Suarez, Hunter Strickland, both led a scoreless inning. But for the LA Angels, they strand 9 men on base. Joe Adell did set fire to the Lorraine. He goes deep off of Michael Bauman. His second home run in the campaign for Bauman. Gives up all of the runs that the Angels scored, 2 in total, while getting just 1 out of the bullpen. But from there, you did see Yennier Cano be able to fill 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Jacob Webb gets an out of the bullpen. And then Craig Kimbrell, nice scoreless inning as Albert Suarez, the international man of mystery, who was pitching in the KBO, Nippon Baseball League, a little bit of like Mexican Winter League. He's been in like every single league on the face of planet Earth. 5 2/3 innings scoreless. So the Orioles, they keep it rolling. They're able to get the job done. Also being able to get the job done, how about the San Francisco Giants? 5-2, they take down the New York Mets. Mets were getting super duper hot. I believe that they were on a run of like 12-3 in their previous 15 games, but now they have lost back-to-back games as Pete Alonso, lone form of offense in this game, gets a 7th home run season off of Keaton Wynn. Wynn was solid, gives up that home run over the course of 6 innings. Did see Camilo Duval give up a run in an inning as well, but Ryan Walker, along with one half of Rogers Squared, and Tyler Rogers were both able to supply a scoreless setting, and Michael Conforto continuing his nice season. Fifth home run season, that's off of Jose Quintana, and for Quintana, he was very solid as a pitcher contact guy last season, starting to act up a little bit this season, gives up that home run, 5 runs in total over the course of 5 innings. From there, Orde Lopez, you also saw Sean Reed Foley and Josh Walker all supply a scoreless setting, but Giants get a nice win to be able to help themselves out, but not helping themselves out, the Colorado Rockies, who have now scored 1 or 2 runs in each of their last 4 home games, and they have scored 2 runs or fewer in 6 out of their last 7 overall. They lose to the San Diego Padres 3-1, and how you score 2 runs or fewer in 4 straight games at Coors is beyond me, but for the San Diego Padres, they didn't have a lot going on themselves. They stranded 9 men on base, but Dylan Cease was tremendous. Here's the biggest stat. No walks. He gives up 1 hit in 7 innings. He didn't allow a run along the way, but Aniel De Los Santos, along with Robert Suarez, they had his back. They both supplied a scoreless setting, and for Austin Gomber, they wasted the Rockies. Hit a relatively good start out of him. Gives up 105 innings at Coors. He'll take that. Ty Block, his scoreless setting. Nick Mirzo gives up 2 runs in his ending of work, and Victor Vodnik continues to be very good out of the bullpen. 2 scoreless settings, but Rockies now 5-18 thus far this season. Only thing that they've got going for them, they aren't the Chicago White Sox. As the White Sox get blasted 7-0 against the Minnesota Twins, they're averaging, the White Sox are, 2.1 runs per game, and they're currently 8-14 on the run line. This has just been miserable for them. As for Chicago, you had young Jonathan Gannon. Well, he was lit up like a cannon. 6 runs surrendered in 3 2/3 innings. Bullpen from there actually wasn't bad. Chris Flexen allows a solo home run in 2 1/3 innings as Edouard Julien gets his 5th home run of the campaign, but he had Tim Hill, Stephen Wilson, both supply a scoreless inning, but for the White Sox, they stranded 9 men on base. They could not get to Chris Paddock, who he punches out 10 and 7 scoreless innings, and then you had 2 scoreless innings out of 1 Ronnie Hernandez. Hopefully I said that correctly. He was able to come in, held down the fort, and the Twins, they continue the demise of the Chicago White Sox. The Atlanta Braves were able to keep it scoreless on Monday. They take down the Miami Marlins by a count of 3-0 as Ryan Weathers has just been a tough luck guy. Gives up 3 runs in 5 2/3 innings on the road against Atlanta. That's not too bad. Travis Darno gets his 5th home run of the campaign. From there, you saw Birch Smith give you 1 1/3 inning scoreless, and then you saw 1 1/3 inning scoreless from Declan Cronin as well. But for Miami, they just could not do anything with men in scoring position. They strand 6 men on base. Bryce Elder, first start of the year, he gives up 8 hits, but goes 6 2/3 innings scoreless. He mitigates the damage. AJ Minter, Rossy Iglesias both send a scoreless setting in there, and Ed Pierce Johnson give you a nod out of the bullpen as well. And a team that is 500 that's really not playing like they're 500, that would be the Tampa Bay Rays, as they fall to the Detroit Tigers by a count of 7-1. Tigers, by the way, now 4+ runs in 5 out of their last 6 games, as Mark Canna, yes, he can go deep off of Zach Little, his 4th home run season, and Parker Meadows goes deep off of Little as well, his 2nd for Little. He came up very, very little in this one, giving up 6 runs, 5 of which were earned over the course of his 6 innings. Chris Savinski from there gives up 1 run in 2 innings, and Kevin Kelly, scoreless inning, but lone form of offense for the Tampa Bay Rays. Jared Calabria was able to go deep. He gets home run number 2 of the campaign. That comes off of Shelby Miller, who gives up that home run in his inning of work. Will Vest, Joey Wentz, they both supply a scoreless inning, and Tariq Skubal continues to be great. 6 scoreless innings, punches out 9, so the Tigers are now 13-10, and they're really rocking and rolling. If you're looking at the best team on the run line in baseball thus far this season, that would be the Cleveland Guardians, and they have been absolutely tremendous. But that said, in terms of teams that actually played on Monday, it would be the Milwaukee Brewers at 12-9 on the run line, but they were unable to cover this one as they lose to the Pittsburgh Pirates by a count of 9-4. Brewers have actually been very good to the over as well, 13 overs to 8 unders, but not a lot to them for them on offense. Jared Jones was very good for the Pirates, made one mistake though. He did allow Reese Hoskins to go deep off of him, 5th home run in the campaign, but for Jones, gives up that home run in his 6 innings of work, 7 strikeouts in total. Aroldis Chapman walked 3 and gave up a run with getting just 1 out of the bullpen, but everyone else had his back. You had Hunter Stratton get a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. David Benard, Colin Holderman, they both give you a scoreless setting. And Andrew McCutchen, more like Andrew McClutchen, his 2nd home run in the campaign. That comes off of Joe Ross. Ross gives up that home run, 2 runs, one of which was earned in 5 1/3 innings. So not bad there. But Hobie Milner was hurt by a Jake Bowers throwing error. He gives up 2 unearned runs over the course of a 1/3 inning, and then you had some long relief, 2 1/3 inning scoreless from Thygo Vieira to be able to stem the tide there. And also being able to stem the tide, how about the Oakland A's, who As an underdog, they have been very good on the run line this year, 2-0. You didn't even need the run line here. They're able to win outright on the money line. And for the Oakland A's this far this season, if you've taken the plus run and a half with them when they've been an underdog, you've honestly went 11-10. And for the Oakland A's, J.P. Sears was dealing. 6 scoreless innings out of him, 7 strikeouts. Lucas Hershage, 2 scoreless innings. And then Mason Miller, he's able to lock things down. He gets 3 strikeouts for a scoreless inning in the ninth. Meanwhile, Zach Galof provided the offense needed to be able to get the job done here. Game was 0-0 going into the ninth inning. He goes deep off of Victor Gonzalez, 3rd home run of the campaign, as squandered was a very good start from one Carlos Rodon. Gives up just 1 hit and 7 scoreless innings. Ian Hamilton, a scoreless inning, but then Victor Gonzalez gives up that 2-run shot. He gives up 2 runs without getting a single out before Ron Medinacchio holds down the 4th for a scoreless inning. And also going scoreless was the Cincinnati Reds. 7-0, the Philadelphia Phillies are able to get the win here as Ranger Suarez, very good in this one. He has been solid all season long. 7 scoreless innings out of him, punching out 5. Gregory Soto, Jeff Hoffman from there, both supply a scoreless inning. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, he had Cody Clemens go deep for his first home run of the campaign. That comes off of Casey Lugamina. He gave up that home run, 3 runs, 2 of which were earned in the course of 2 innings. And for Hunter Green, just as always, had his struggles at home. He's got a lower career road ERA rather than a home ERA. Gives up 4 runs over the course of 7 innings, but even if he gave up 1 run, that would have been too many, as the Cincinnati Reds only able to get 2 hits on the board in this one and 0 runs. The Blue Jays have been struggling with their offense as well. They've been a relatively good under team thus far this season, but they find enough offense to be able to get the job done here against the Kansas City Royals. This by a count of 5-3 as the Royals, 8 overs, 14 unders, and a push. So they've been a nice under team as well. Same goes for the New York Yankees, 8 overs, 14 unders, and a push for them as well. But for Toronto, you did have Dalton Varsho go deep off of Brady Singer, who was singing the blues after this one. 6th home run on the campaign for Singer. Gives up all 5 runs over the course of 6 innings. You did have the Duff Man, Tyler Duffy, be able to supply 2 scoreless innings, and then Nick Anderson, scoreless inning. But for the Royals, just a little bit too little too late. Jordan Romano does give up a home run to Kyle Isbell, 2nd home run season, and Mikel Garcia was able to go deep a little bit earlier on in this game off of Yusei Kikuchi, his 4th home run season. But Kikuchi overall, relatively solid start. Gives up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings, including that home run. Eric Swanson, Yimi Garcia, they both supply a scoreless inning. Then Jordan Romano gives up that solo home run in his inning of work. And then you did see the St. Louis Cardinals finally get online with their offense. They had been in an 8-game slide without a single home run. Well, they get 2 here, 5-3. They're able to take down the Arizona Diamondbacks. As for the Diamondbacks, they just left a bunch of men on base. They honestly go 3-of-8 with men in scoring position, but they strand 10 men on base. Brandon Pfaadt, he gives up 2 runs over the course of 5 and a third innings. So Pfaadt are, but Scott Magoo gives up a solo home run over the course of his 1 and a third innings, going deep for the St. Louis Cardinals off of him. Paul Goldschmidt, who has really struggled, 2nd home run of the campaign. Then Nolan Gorman, a little bit later on, off of Kyle Nelson, walk-off home run in the ninth. His 4th home run of the campaign for Nelson. He's been pretty reliable this year, but gives up that solo home run. He inherited a runner from Ryan Thompson, who he gets charged with a run in an inning of work. Joe Mantiply, and out of the bullpen of his own. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, he had Lance Lynn give up 3 runs over the course of 5 innings, but kept the ball in the yard. He got into a little bit of a hairy spot, but was able to wiggle out of it. From there, the bullpen did their part. Ryan Elsley, Ryan Fernandez, both supply a scoreless inning, and then Andrew Kittredge along Jojo Romero. They both supply a pair of scoreless innings apiece. And if you're taking a look at Major League Baseball right now, I was mentioning it, very underwhelming day on Monday. We saw just 1 over in the day on Monday, so that was interesting to say the least. And overall for the season, you now have unders in the lead on overs, 167 unders to 162 overs this baseball season. Meanwhile, road teams continue to be very dominant on the money line, 179 and 162. Meanwhile, if you're taking a look at favorites, they're at about 59.1%, 199 and 138 on the money line. And if you're looking at the last 7 days in Major League Baseball, it has been very much laden with a bunch of favorites, as favorites have gone 56 and 34, a 62.2% hit rate. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Monday. Now let's turn it forward to Tuesday and just get some takeaways from the first month or so of the season from Chris Sheehan, who does great work over at WTOP Sports along with USA Today. Join me next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Visa Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And it is always great to be joined by this man as Christiani does great work over at WTOP Sports. I know that he's also doing an excellent job over at USA Today, doing some write-ups on both the MLB and the NHL front as the NHL playoffs has gotten rocking and rolling. I know that for Chris, he does a great job day in and day out of taking a look at this great sport that we all know and love of baseball as well. And you know, follow him on Twitter /X at the Big Cheese Show. That is spelled C-H-E-E on Cheese Show. And Chris, always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, thank you so much for having me. Yes, this past weekend watching a thriller in New York, if you like a pitching matchup, as Tyler Alexander had himself a nice little start. You know, this Rays organization, they really do know how to mend some of these arms. Like, I thought this guy was essentially a 4A player in Detroit. Now he's throwing these backdoor cutters and sliders and fooling these Yankees hitters en route to a Rays win on Saturday. Those two teams, plus the Orioles now making a move with the AL East, it's heating up already, Greg, and it's only April.
It is certainly heating up, and I'm so glad that you bring up the Tampa Bay Rays, because when it comes to a sample size like we have right now, we are just under a month through the season. What do you make out of something like the Tampa Bay Rays being a team that's towards the bottom of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA? What do we make out of these teams like the Milwaukee Brewers, who have been so stunning with their bats thus far? Because through the first month of the season, we have seen a few surprises, and I don't think that we should like completely discount it all, but at the same time, I certainly do think that something like the Tampa Bay Rays, them struggling in the bullpen, I do think that that'll turn around sooner rather than later.
Yeah, certainly you would think so, right? I mean, Pete Fairbanks has not had a great start to the season by any means. Colin Poche has been in some high-danger situations and not been outstanding. But when I look at this Rays team, you know, you got the starting pitching. Eflin just had himself another stellar outing there. You're going to get him performing well more oftentimes than not. You know that they're lacking a ton of depth when it comes to a rotation that's lacking McClanahan and Boz, and they're making the best of it. I mean, the problem with the Rays ultimately is they need more production from their lineup here. I mean, Randy Arozarena and Yandy Diaz, these were guys that were the run scoring leaders for this team last year, and Yandy needed a day off last week because he was just having such a difficult time at the plate. And Yandy Diaz, he exactly hasn't been all that great. He went 7-for-56. I mean, this was a guy who was like their leadoff hitter, you know, guy who needs to be getting on base more oftentimes than not. So for me, this is a Rays team. Curtis Meade is not somebody who is like sustainable in the middle of that infield. Harold Ramirez needs to do a better job of laying off some pitches. I've watched him chase quite a bit here, and the Rays do have a bit of a tendency to do that. They're just not the strongest hitting team, let's just say that. And, you know, you don't have Brandon Lau in that lineup there. I have not been impressed with him for about a year and a half, but he does provide that pop. So they're in a situation, if they're going to play a team like the Orioles, they're really going to need that bullpen to come about, because they cannot outslug a team like Baltimore. The Yankees, they hung in there with. I mean, we saw Judge and how much he's been struggling. And I mean, I think he was maybe even catching a couple of boo birds at Yankee Stadium, which I could not believe my ears. I know, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know if I heard it right or correctly. But yeah, it's been really interesting in this East so far. Rays are going to hang in there. What's going to happen with the Blue Jays? Are they going to hang in there? Guess we'll find out. They still don't really impress me offensively enough. They're all right, but to hang in there with the Yanks and et cetera, I don't know.
Yep, and I always think back to that old commercial with Peyton Manning. They're not saying boo, they're saying movers, but they were hearing some boo birds. It has been a little bit of a rough year for Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees, sans what we've been getting out of Juan Soto. So it's going to be interesting to see what we get on that front, though. Pitching has been absolutely outstanding for the New York Yankees. Wasn't on them that they lost on Monday, to say the least, as we know. Christian does great work over at WTOP Sports and USA Today, showing me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And what else I think is so interesting is just taking a look at some of these bottom feeder teams. Like, we've got it going on Tuesday once again. The Chicago White Sox are catching between about plus 210, plus 220 against the Minnesota Twins, with Eric Fetty, who hasn't pitched horribly, going for the Chicago White Sox against Pablo Lopez of the Minnesota Twins. And if Eric Fetty was on like any other team and catching this sort of number, I would be more than happy to take that plus price. But even if Eric Fetty goes out there, throws like six innings, gives up 1 to 2 runs, I just can't bank on the White Sox providing 1 to 2 runs to be able to help them out. I don't know what you make out of both this White Sox team and the series as a whole, but I took a look at the White Sox, and this appears to be a historically bad offense.
Historically bad offense. I guess if I was maybe going to trust any part of this team at the moment, what do they have? Less than the amount of fingers you have on your hands as far as wins this season. But Michael Kopech hasn't been that bad out of the bullpen if you want to have a bright spot with the White Sox. But to me, you know, you're looking at a Twins bunch. Carlos Correa, I know the Astros have been, and it's a couple years now down the road, but the Astros may have made the right decision letting him go just based on now he's got the oblique strain. I don't think he's a game changer at this point. And there was at one point, and still might be the case, that there were like, what, two hitters, Alex Kirilloff and Ryan Jeffers, who were actually hitting above 200 here. Byron Buxton and how he has struggled so much. And even a guy like Max Kepler, you know, who can get hot, just not doing enough for this Twins team here, you know, might be missing a guy like Jorge Polanco at this point. So, and plus, yeah, the Twins, they don't really generate much traffic on the base paths whatsoever. They're not really getting a good line drive percentage, especially against left-handed pitching. They're not hitting infielders that well. So, yeah, this is a bunch where it's tough to back the White Sox just based on what you said about offense. I totally agree. But, you know, the Twins aren't really necessarily there either. So maybe an underspot is the way to look here.
Yeah, with the White Sox, you're probably going to be able to get a lot of unders in, except for those times where they themselves pretty much allow the over or buy all by themselves. It has been really rough to look at this team, to say the least, but it has not been so rough to be able to take a look at this team. The Baltimore Orioles have been so hot, and it's going to be Grayson Rodriguez on the bump for them for Tuesday against Griffin Canning of the LA Angels. Now, it is a road spot for the Baltimore Orioles, and they're laying a pretty big number, minus 145 to minus 155. But how do you take a look at this matchup with Rodriguez doing an amazing job on the mound? But coupled with that, the Orioles enter into the series with the Angels, number one in the big leagues with home runs at just 1-9. I've been incredibly impressed by this lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Grayson Rodriguez already did shut down this Angels lineup, allowing a run, six innings pitched. Taylor Ward hit the home run, and maybe you and I were talking, and I was pretty dismissive of that, but Taylor Ward's had himself a nice start to the year here. But yeah, whether we're talking about Santander, who is not exactly hitting for average, but they've got guys who are doing so. Gunnar Henderson is one of the most feared hitters as far as shortstops in the American League, right up there with Corey Seager. And, you know, Adley and Gunnar were Silver Slugger finalists last year. You have Gunnar just being able to call a great game as always. Mountcastle is a solid hitter, first baseman O'Hearn. And yeah, I think when you and I talked a week or so ago, I was mentioning Heston Kerstad tearing it up in the minor leagues, but just not really being able to get a shot up at the next level because you still got to try to get Jackson Holliday going here and get him some at-bats and get comfortable. And you have Colton Cowser, who's got to be like hitting eighth on Monday, I saw in LA. So he gets bumped down. Jordan Westberg is a solid player for this team as well, too. They're just so deep. They can certainly be mentioned as a World Series contender. Just imagine if they had Felix Bautista shutting down the ninth inning. I mean, Yonier Cano, I will trust him more oftentimes than not. Same thing can be said about Danny Kalum. Dean Kramer is probably the one outlier right now that you would be like, all right, he's a guy that this organization loves, fans like to. They want to see him probably pitch better. He got yanked too early in his last start, but yeah, he's somebody that they'd like to see perform. And then Kyle Bradish, they're hoping to have back here soon as he is revving up, I guess. And it's not as serious, his arm injury, as was anticipated a couple of months ago. So yeah, Orioles in certainly a good spot here to make a run.
Yep, I do think that they're in a tremendous spot as well as joining me on the show. We do have one of our good friends aboard, Christian. He does great work over at WTOP Sports, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I do think that we've got ourselves a really nice board for Tuesday. We've got all 30 teams in action. A few games are currently off the board, but are there a few games in particular that you have your eye on? We highlighted a few big ones. We did certainly take a look at the American League East, but anything that's standing out to you really for this Tuesday?
I will be writing about the A's-Yankees game for USA Today, so I've dug into that one already. What I'm finding out is that Paul Blackburn is like that. I mean, what is concerning is he had five walks in his last start against St. Louis, albeit they do get a win, but that was the most he's had in a start since June 2022. Against the Yankees, Blackburn has had himself a nice career. I mean, only three starts, but four earned runs in 15 and a third innings. Faced them last June and he earned the win. So, yeah, I mean, but Marcus Stroman's a pitcher. I'm looking at his numbers and his career ERA. I mean, this is a guy that has never gone above four since 2018 with Toronto. And, you know, he has been able to limit damage so far this year. He's got himself a 2.42 ERA, fifth start. No decision against Toronto in that last one. He was bailed out by the Yankees bats late. And so this is a situation where if I'm getting, sometimes I don't like to lay a ton of, even like $1.20 juice on the run line with, but the A's run line cashes so frequently. It's one of those situations you have to expect. Look, it's the Yankees. They're home. They can, they're the Bronx Bombers. They got Judge. They got Soto, who leads the league in walks. I mean, they can blow this game open 9-0. But like with Blackburn, I don't anticipate that. So I'd rather take the run line, and I would take a shot on the money line too with a half unit. I mean, this is a A's team that is not going to compete with the Yankees as far as the bats go, but they would need Blackburn to really step up. And to me, he's a pitcher that if he doesn't get behind in the count, he can control this game and keep the A's in it.
Yep, and it has been so interesting to take a look at the Oakland A's because they have now covered 11 out of their last 15 games on the run line when they've been an underdog. And to your point, Paul Blackburn has been just absolutely tremendous. And how much do you want to take a look at some of those spots? Because the just overall read, the overall perception of the A's is that this is just an absolutely terrible team. But I oftentimes find that some of the most profitable pitchers out there in all of baseball are some of these pitchers that are on some of these lesser teams. These guys that they don't necessarily have the world's greatest ERA or anything like that, but they just do a solid job getting outs. Maybe they're not getting a lot of strikeouts, but you know what? They're pitching to contact. They're going deep into games. And Paul Blackburn just reads as a guy that could be very profitable because oftentimes when you're betting Paul Blackburn, you're not having to like lay some Mondo number, but rather you're getting a nice plus price.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look too at a pitcher who might have bloated stats from time to time this year, like a Ryan Pepiot, for example, who's going to be taking the mound on Tuesday against the Tigers. This is a guy that if you look at some of his underlying stats and how he's been able to generate a ton of swings and misses, I think he generated like 17 of them in his last start. Those are the kind of things you want to pay attention to and target some of these bad lineups. I mean, the Tigers are a team against, I know, at least right-handed pitching. They have like the second or worst hard contact percentage. And I guess I'm like talking myself even more so into the Tampa Bay Rays because especially with Kenta Maeda being a pitcher that has allowed the most home runs in the American League and maybe the entire league starting at least this week. But, you know, when we're talking about a Paul Blackburn or any of maybe these Oakland A's pitchers and when we're looking at Mason Miller and how he was throwing 103, it's fun to watch him just striking out Soto and Judge from just a pure baseball standpoint, the era we live in with the velocity and whether that's, you know, causing these arm injuries and the Tommy John surgeries that have become so prevalent these days. But watching Mason Miller in that moment on Monday was certainly electrifying stuff. And it appears, you know, the A's have a record of 9-14 now. They're hanging in these games, and if they're covering 11 of 15 run lines, as you mentioned, yeah, I'm going to take my spots more oftentimes than not, especially against teams, again, that are going to be not so much of a threat offensively. I want to find the right game environment, maybe a Seattle-type situation where at night you point this out a lot. There's not a ton of runs scored a lot of times, so I would look at them in a lot of spots this year.
Absolutely, and I do think that that's such a good way of going about it. And not all these underdogs are created equally. Like with the Oakland A's, you've been able to get a relatively good and honest effort out of them. And then you take a look at the Chicago White Sox, not such a good and honest effort out of them as well. So the plus $2 underdogs are able to find from time to time on the board. You want to be picking your spots carefully because some yield a lot of value, some do not. But a man that always yields tremendous value when he's on this podcast, a man that does a great job looking at this game, that'd be you, Chris. You do an amazing job over at USA Today. You do great work over at WTOP as well. So love to get people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
I will be providing two playoff previews on this Tuesday. We will have the Lightning taking on the Florida Panthers as well as the Rangers Capitals. I'll be previewing both of those for USA Today. So certainly looking forward to that. And for WTOP, continuing these big chi baseball bets of the day. So that's been a lot of fun too, Greg. And it has been great talking baseball with you. I always say it. You're such a great mind with this sport and such a resource for me. I'm going to be mowing the lawn Tuesday for 3 hours. I'm going to be listening back to you previewing this game's getting set up for the slate. So thank you so much for having me.
We are getting into the time of year where we can mow the lawn again. If you're out there in the Northeast / the just East Coast part of the nation where you're able to mow the lawn without snow. So yay, verily there. And Chris, he does such a good job taking a look at this great game of baseball. It is now baseball season, and he's doing a great job on that front. And every single time he joins this show, wants some great insight. So big thanks, Chris, for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And coming next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Tuesday as we touch them all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to be able to get Chris Sheehan aboard. He does such good work over at WTOP Sports, taking a look at this great game of baseball that we all know and love. I know that he's doing an amazing job on this front, but coupled with that, for those that are getting involved in the NHL playoffs, he does incredible work with his write-ups over there at USA Today on that front end. Always a pleasure to be able to get him on the show. So big thanks to Chris for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Tuesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter / X feed at GNN_E1, and we are going to be going in the Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games. We've only got one interleague game that is between the Cubs and the Astros. That game is going to be at the bottom. So how about if we do start things off with my DK Network write-up pick? This is 901, 902 on the betting board. The Philadelphia Phillies to throw the free off against the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on the Cincinnati. They're on 2-1. Andrew Abbott getting the start for them. And Christopher Sanchez is on the bump for the Phillies. Phillies are between minus 118 to minus 125 favorites. They're between plus even money, plus 100 to plus 112 is your number on the Cincinnati Reds. 8.5 is the total. Over is minus 115. The under is minus 105. I do like this total over. I set my total at a 9.3. I think that a pair of guys with a sub-3 ERA right now are going to see some regression, but right up here is going to be on the Reds' money line. Biggest reason why is that you've got two comparable pitchers in terms of ERA, and if you do take a look at the fielding independent, Sanchez has been in better form for the Philadelphia Phillies. 2.53 ERA, but .199 fielding independent. I do have a little bit of concern, though, that the walks have really jumped. He went from 1.4 walks per 9 innings a season ago to 3.4 walks per 9 innings this season. He actually gave up as many walks as home runs last season, but has yet to give up a bomb thus far this campaign. I do take a look at sort of the sample size playing against the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Cincinnati Reds, and I do think that perhaps that has been able to help him out a little bit, Washington Nationals. So I do think that that's a little bit of a matter of circumstance. And for Andrew Abbott, his strikeout numbers have been a little bit down from what they were a season ago. Last year was getting closer to 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, but even though he's dropped to more like 6.6 strikeouts per 9 innings, has cut down on the walks to about 2.7 walks per 9 innings. So I do like what I'm seeing on that front as well. And for Andrew Abbott, throughout his career, he's got an ERA about 0.75 points lower when he's at home rather than away from home, but it's really about the supporting cast, which is why I do like the Reds on the money line. The Philadelphia Phillies enter into the series dead last in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. I've said it on this show quite a bit, and I'll say it again. I have no idea what it is, but the Philadelphia Phillies just always struggle in the bullpen their first month of the season. Right now, you've got Ricardo Pinto, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Gregory Soto, Jose Alvarado, all posting up north of a 5 ERA, and I do think that the likes of Alvarado, Dominguez, and company are going to be able to pick it up, but question is when. Or Ryan Kerking has really been your best reliever for the team. And for the Reds, they're about league average with their bullpen ERA, about 14th in the league. They're not lighting the world on fire, but Emilio Pagan, Lucas Sims, these guys are giving you good innings. Fernando Cruz, 2 seasons ago, had a sub-2 ERA. He's been solid. Alexis Diaz has been a little bit shaky as a closer, but I do think that he's going to be able to step it up a little bit. But coupled with that, you've got a Philadelphia Phillies team that they go powerless when they're away from home. When they were entering into this series, they were averaging a half a home run per game away from home compared to 1.44 home runs per game at home, seeing a fall of about 1.4 runs per game away from home rather than at home entering into the series with about 3.33 runs per game away from home, while the Reds are putting up about 5.5 runs per game when they're at home. And we have seen Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Cyr be relatively consistent thus far this season. Both guys hovering around a .300 batting average with a .400 on base. Spencer Cyr has been able to supply you with 3 home runs, 6 bombs already for Ellie De La Cruz. Now, a little bit of a touch-and-go lineup as you've got the likes of Christian Encarnacion, Strand, Tyler Stevenson. These sort of guys need to pick it up with regards to their average, but all in all, it's been rock solid. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, you just haven't been able to get Bryce Harper going. He was out of the fold yesterday in terms of that starting lineup. Trey Turner has done a great job moving the line. He's giving you nearly a 400 on base, well above a .300 batting average, but Kyle Schwarber has had issues getting on base really the last few seasons. Nick Castellanos, Bryson Stott, these guys at the bottom of the fold have been having a little bit of issue as well, and I do think that the Reds' overall supporting cast going to be better than that of the Philadelphia Phillies. I think that Christopher Sanchez has very much benefited from starting against, let's call it what it is, some lesser competition. And I do think that the Reds find a way to be able to get the job done. My write-up pick here is going to be on that Reds money line. I set them at a minus 124, so getting plus money. Wanted to dive in there and did set my total at 9.3. So I like the over. My write-up is going to be on that Reds money line. 903, 904 on the betting board. It is the Milwaukee Brewers. They hit the road. They're facing off against the Pittsburgh Pirates. We know that it's going to be Bailey Falter for the Pirates. It was supposed to be Wade Miley having a party out there in Pittsburgh for the Brewers, but that is to be determined. He hit the injured list as of the time of this recording. We don't know who the starter is going to be, so this is going to be off the board with the Brewers. You have to figure that it's going to be a poo-poo platter of pitchers. They've already done this once this year. That was a case where you saw Bryce Wilson essentially get like three innings as sort of like an opener plus. He wasn't necessarily a full-on starter, but he wasn't like quite an opener as well. And the Brewers did make a move to bring up Tobias Myers, who I do think is going to be, at the very minimum, seeing some innings. I don't know if he's going to be necessarily getting the full-on start, though. He has been at the minor league level, a little bit of a starter. If you take a look at what he's done at the minor league level, he was honestly quite decent with Nashville in his few starts as far this season. Four overall appearances, posting up a .162 ERA. And this guy, throughout his career at the minor league level, has been able to get some swings and misses. At Double A last season, he was someone that was able to do a really nice job, being able to generate about 11 punchouts per 9 innings with Biloxi. This season, he's been getting about 12 strikeouts, about 4 walks per 9 innings, so he's starting to come along. Have to think that perhaps he and Bryce Wilson piggyback off of one another. And if that's the case, we'll be setting the Pirates at a minus 124 on the money line. So we need at least a plus 125 to take a shot on the Brewers, just because there is a little bit of, shall we say, unfamiliarity. There's a little bit of question mark with this Brewers team, even though they do have one of the best bullpens in the big leagues. Elvis Piguero, Joel Piamps, Hobie Milner. These are guys that all gave you a sub-3.5 ERA. He sees a guy like Brian Hudson as well. But it is a Pirates team that, even though they don't necessarily have the world's greatest ERA out there in the bullpen, I like Aroldis Chapman, David Benar. They've been dealing with that injury to Ryan Borucki, but that said, Hunter Strand is someone that I think could be able to hold down the fort for the Brewers. I do expect a little bit of regression with this lineup. They entered into the series after more than 6 runs per game with regards to bats, but you've got Christian Yelich currently on the injured list, and then you've got, entering into Monday, Bryce Terang, Blake Perkins, William Contreras, all hitting north of a .333. This is just not sustainable, in my opinion. I think that we underrated the Brewers coming into the season. At the same time, I don't want to be going overly overboard with them. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they had like one or two really good series to start the season against the Miami Marlins. It's been a nosedive from there, but you do have Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, both riding north of a .350 on base. Michael A. Taylor still hitting for a relatively good average. You just need more consistency out of these guys like O'Neill Cruz. Andrew McCutchen is a little bit long in the tooth. He hasn't necessarily been able to produce a lot, but I do think that if you get a guy in Bryce Wilson who's been a little bit more of a pitcher contact guy throughout his career, has been a little bit lucky on balls in play, that you should be able to get some runs up on the board. And for Bailey Falter, he certainly has been living up to his name in recent years as well. This is another guy that does a solid job of not giving up a lot of walks, and his strikeout numbers in recent years haven't been amazing, but you know what? They've been going on the incline a little bit more. When he got to the Pirates last year, he was able to get up to about 7 strikeouts for 9 innings thus far this season. Just 10 strikeouts in 20 innings, so he certainly has been allowing teams to hit him and hit him pretty hard. He's been giving up about a home run and a half per 9 innings, so if it is indeed sort of like what we're seeing with Wilson slash Myers as a 1-2 combo for the Brewers against Bailey Falter, would be willing to lay up to a minus 123 with the Pirates, plus 125 or higher. Looking at the crew in that 9 or less, looking at the over 9.5 or higher, the under 905, 906 on the betting board. The LA Dodgers, they hit the road. They're facing off against the Washington Nationals as Patrick Corbin goes for the Nats and James Paxton is on the bump for the Dodgers. 9.5 is the total. Over is minus 115. The under is minus 105 for the Dodgers. They're between minus 190 to minus 205 favorites, and between plus 164 to plus 175. That is your number on the Washington Nationals. And would have needed at least a plus 225 to take a shot on Patrick Corbin and company. If you're looking at this LA Dodgers run line, currently it is off the board. You don't get these run lines typically until later on in the day. But that said, if I were to decipher, I think that we should be well in my range. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 145 in terms of this run line. I'd be very, very shocked if we don't have a run line of minus 145 or greater. I should be able to get much better than that. As a matter of fact, I'm right now seeing like a minus 130 or so. So I'd be willing to dive in there with James Paxton. He's been a little bit up and down in terms of the walks. He's been giving up 14 walks in 16 innings. I do think that he's going to round into form a little bit more, as 8 of those walks came in that last start against the San Diego Padres, which was very, very strange to say the least. But he's still able to give you some swings and misses out there. He's a little bit up there in years, has been dealing with his back issues. But got a Washington Nationals unit that they don't necessarily draw a lot of walks themselves. They are very much just looking to put the ball in play. They don't necessarily generate a whole bunch of hard contact either, even though you do have CJ Abrams, who's been able to give you 6 home runs, providing a 360 on base thus far this season. You've seen quite a few guys regress for the team. Kiber Ruiz has been a little bit banged up, but he, Lane Thomas, these are two guys hitting below the Mendoza line of 200 last year. You had Joey Meneses doing some good work. He's hitting just a 235 with no home runs entering into the series. Do like what I've seen out of Jesse Winker, about a 440 on base. He has been rock solid. And for the Dodgers, you've got a top 5 in the lineup that might be as fearsome as any in all baseball, but you do have a little bit of top heaviness. The likes of Gavin Lux, James Altman, Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, they just have not been able to produce at the plate. But you know, look at these top guys. Teoscar Hernandez, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, all entering into the series with 5-plus home runs. Betts and Ohtani, north of a 430 on base apiece, north of a 350 batting average apiece, entering into the series. Will Smith has gotten jiggy with it. He's hitting a 345 entering into the series as well. Freddie Freeman has not provided a lot of power, just one home run, but he's giving you a 400 on base. These guys have been solid, but for the Dodgers, they have been about 20th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Evan Phillips has been a relatively good closer, but that said, you need a little bit more out of guys like Ryan Brazier. Alex Vesio have shown some signs of brightness for this team in recent years. Do like what Danny Hudson is able to provide as well, and if Paxton does continue to provide a lot of walks, that means that you're going to get a little bit of taxation with regards to bullpen. But for Patrick Corbin, he just has not been great this far this season. If you look at his numbers last year, where the Nationals actually went 15-17 in his starts, so he was actually very profitable for you last season, but he actually pitched worse this past season in 2023 than he did in 2022 when he was biggest fade of fades. But he has given up 4-plus runs at each out of his 4 starts thus far this season. He's given up about 4 walks per 9 innings himself. He's not getting a whole lot of swings and misses. And last time he faced off against the Dodgers, he gave up 5 runs and 6 in a third innings. So I think that we're going to see much of the same here. And he's backed up by a bullpen that isn't terrible, but it isn't necessarily amazing. I like what Jordan Weems is able to bring to the table for the team. Hunter Harvey is able to give you a few solid innings, but even though his ERA isn't bad, Kyle Finnegan is just a guy that I really don't trust in as well. Derek Law has been a little bit up and down, so I do think that the Dodgers are going to be able to tattoo our good friend and Mr. Corbin. I do think that James Paxton is going to settle down with the walks a little bit more as well against a little bit of a free-swinging Washington Nationals team looking to create contact. So, my total 9.3, I like the under of 9.5, and I'm going to be willing to lay the Dodgers up to a minus 145 on this run line. 907, 908 on the betting board. The Miami Marlins hit the road face-off against the Atlanta Braves. Max Fried is on the bump for the Bravos, and Trevor Rogers is in the neighborhood for the Miami Marlins. 9 is the total. Over is minus 115, the under is minus 105. Between minus 250 to minus 265 is your number on the Atlanta Braves. Between plus 210 and plus 225, that number on the Miami Marlins. And for the Marlins, I need at least a plus 222 to take a shot. I'm starting to see some plus 222s. I'm starting to see some plus 225s. That's enough for me to be able to take a shot on the Miami Marlins. Now, it's a grody play, but when Trevor Rogers was last healthy during the 2022 campaign, he actually strangely had a better ERA when he was on the road rather than at home, and that's manifested itself thus far this season. 4-2 home ERA, 3.60 road ERA. Now, it's a very, very small sample size, so I don't want to be making too much out of it, but for Trevor Rogers, he's getting about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Command has always been an issue for him. He's given up 4 walks per 9 innings, but he's been able to reduce on the hard contact. He's yet to give up a home run in his 4 starts as far as the season, and Max Fried just flat out isn't in good form. 7.71 ERA. He was all sorts of banged up last season, and he's given up 3-plus runs in 3 out of his 4 starts as far as the season. The walks are up. He's given up 9 walks in 16 and a third innings, and for the Miami Marlins, the overall power is just not there. You currently have Jake Berger dealing with a few injuries, so that's not necessarily too tremendous, but you've had Brian De La Cruz be able to give you 5 home runs, and if you look at the Baseball Savant numbers, there should be some positivity that is coming through for the Miami Marlins there. Expected batting average as far this season is the biggest differential pretty much in the league. They're expected to be hitting a 241 entering the series. They were hitting just a 220. They put the ball in play. Tim Anderson is hitting about a 250. Luis Rice, he's backed up hitting about a 275. I do expect guys like A.C. Sanchez, who had a nice tank shot against the Chicago Cubs on Sunday, to be able to pick it up. And then with the Atlanta Braves, this is is a Death Star lineup. They have to deal with a few injuries, but a lot of these guys are back in the fold. You've got Matt Olson back. Just 3 home runs as far this season. You know that he's going to be able to pick it up, but you've got so many guys just finding a way to be able to move the line. Orlando Arcia, Marcelo Ozuna, Jarrell Kelenic, Michael Harris, all entering into the series. And at least a 295 along with Ronald Acuña Jr. Acuña Jr. at just 1 home run in his first 77 at-bats. You know that that's going to be ticking up. Marcelo Ozuna has been so hot with his home run power, though, to be able to make up with it. 9 home runs entering into the series. And for the Atlanta Braves, it's a slightly above average bullpen. You'd like to see Tyler Mazick get back online. He has not been tremendous since dealing with injury pretty much all of last season, but likes of AJ Minter, Joey Menez, Rossy Iglesias, these guys are able to lock down, and Jesse Chavez is a nice long guy. But for the Miami Marlins, even though this has been one of the lesser bullpens in the big leagues as far this season, I expect some positivity for guys like Andrew Nardi, Tanner Scott, who he sees to go. Both of these guys were able to supply you with a sub-3.5 ERA. They've had a little bit of a rough go of it thus far this season. Brian Hoying has actually been really good on the bullpen thus far. Anthony Bender, he's been posting up a north of 8 ERA. I do think that he's going to be able to get back on kilter as well. For the Atlanta Braves, I certainly think that they're going to be able to get their runs off of Trevor Rogers, but I do see some positivity coming for this Miami Marlins team as well. So I did set my total at 9.6, so I'm going to be looking at the over. I don't like the form of Max Fried, and being able to get anything north of a +222, I'm going to be looking at that Marlins money line to go along with the over. 909-910 on the betting board. It is the Arizona Diamondbacks hit the road. They're facing off against the St. Louis Cardinals. Steven Matz goes for the Cardinals. Tommy Henry is on the bump for the Diamondbacks. This game is off the board. Tommy Henry was not known as the starter until after the game on Monday, so that's why we currently have no numbers up on this game, but on the way up to a -153 with the Cardinals +155 or higher. Could be taking a look at the Diamondbacks, and then I set my total to where an 8.5 or less, I'm going to be taking a look at the over. A 9 or higher, I'm going to be taking a look at the under. We had a St. Louis team that has been quite miserable at the plate recently, but Tommy Henry just has not been in very good form whatsoever, and I take a look at Tommy Henry getting the start, and it does have to have you have some trepidation, to say the least, with this Arizona Diamondbacks team. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, finally they were able to bust through a little bit with their offense on Monday, and I do think that we're going to see a little bit more of that moving forward. Paul Goldschmidt, he's had a brutal start to the season, hitting right around the Mendoza line of about a 200, but he was able to go deep yesterday. You saw Nolan Gorman get his fourth home run season. That was big because they had not homered in any of their last 8 games, and you still have guys that have been able to move the line for the team. Nolan Arenado is still hitting about a 290. Wilson Contreras has been able to give you 400 on base as well, and you do have to figure that some of these guys, like Goldschmidt, like Brandon Donovan, these guys are going to be able to pick it up a little bit. Meanwhile, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, offense has honestly been fine, despite the fact that Corbin Carroll is off to a terrible start to the season, giving you just a 325 on base, but the guys that have picked it up, Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, along with Lourdes Gurriel, both of these guys hitting north of a 280, both of these guys supplying you with 5 home runs. Christian Walker has also been able to do a nice job, being able to give the team a trio of bombs. He's been able to provide about a 370 on base. Jock Peterson north of a 460 on base as well, but for the Cardinals, the bullpen has been very revamped from a season ago. Last season, they were about 22nd in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. They bring in Andrew Kittredge to go along with Ryan Helsley, who was pretty much the lone returning player that had a sub-3.5 ERA in the bullpen a season ago. But you've been able to get some rock-solid innings out of more of these guys that are a little bit more, shall we say, unknown. Ryan Fernandez has been solid. Jojo Romero has been able to give you a little bit of a spark as well. And then for the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's a bullpen that's not great, not terrible, about 17th in the league. In terms of their ERA, they currently are without Luis Frias. You're going to be probably utilizing Logan Allen as a little bit of a long guy as well. If you can't get a lot out of Tommy Henry, Ryan Thompson, Kyle Nelson, these guys are relatively okay. But Scott McGough, he gave it up once again yesterday, so that's not too tremendous. And for Tommy Henry, actually had an ERA that was significantly better, more than 2 points better away from home rather than at home this past season in 2023. But just take a look at what he's been able to do throughout his MLB career, giving him north of 3.8 walks per 9 innings. His career ERA is right around a 4.84, and his fielding independent is darn near a 5. Gives up quite a bit of hard contact, doesn't necessarily give you a lot of swings and misses. This season has been able to up the strikeout numbers, but still giving up a lot of walks, still giving up just a lot of general contact, as his whip is a .180. So this is a spot where I did have to set the St. Louis Cardinals as a pretty sizable favorite, especially with Steven Matz, even though he had one rough start a little bit earlier towards the season. Since the All-Star game of 2023, he's been able to supply a sub-3.5 ERA. He's done a nice job not giving out a lot of walks. He's not like some sort of strikeout artist or anything like that, but has been able to do a nice job of being able to keep batters off balance as far as the season, just 12 strikeouts in 20 innings, but has been able to do a nice job keeping the ball in the yard, giving up just one home run thus far this season, though. I do think that he might start to give up a little bit more harder contact moving forward if you you look at the advanced numbers. But Lone Lay up to a minus 153 with the Cardinals, plus 155 or higher. Looking at the Diamondbacks, and plus 130 or higher would be Lone Lay, a run line with the Cardinals. And then in after loss, looking at the over 9 or higher, the under 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. The San Diego Padres at the red face-off against the Colorado Rockies. Ryan Feltner is on the bump for the Rockies, and Michael King hopes to be the king for the Padres. Padres between minus 157 to minus 165 favorites. Between plus 136 to plus 150, that number on Colorado. 10.5 is the total. Under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. Over is any between even and minus 110. And I'm going to be looking at the over. I did set my total at 10.7, though. I think you're going to need to get the Padres to do a lot of the offensive just legwork, as you've got a Colorado Rockies unit that, as of right now, they have scored 2 runs or fewer in 6 out of their last 7 games, including their last 4 at Coors Field. Like, there's just no way they can continue this and call themselves professionals. This is just absolutely embarrassing. They have went deep 16 times in 23 games thus far this season. And you've got a few guys are moving the line. Brenton Doyle, Elias Diaz, Ezekiel Tovar, Ryan McMahon. All these guys are hitting a 300 or better for this team, but it's a divide between the haves and the have-nots. Charlie Blackman is in a little bit of a funk right now. Nolan Jones, after a nice season last year, he's currently hitting .143. And for that matter, he, along with the currently injured Chris Bryan, Brandon Rodgers, Miguel Toglia, guys like this, they're all hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. I think that I called Michael Toglia Miguel, but he probably deserves it at this point for him hitting .106. And for the Colorado Rockies, this has been a very brutal bullpen as well. Bottom 5 of the big leagues with regards to ERA. Victor Vodnik has honestly been relatively solid for this team, but you've got quite a few guys that are just not cutting it at this point. Noah Davis has become your long guy, but now you've got out there a pair of guys, and Tyler Kinley, Anthony Molina, who have a north of 80 ERA. Justin Lawrence has been terrible throughout his career. Jake Bird has honestly not been too bad, but for the Padres, even though this bullpen loses Josh Hader in the offseason, at this point, Josh Hader might not be doing a whole heck of a lot better because, I mean, he has not been putting it together with the Houston Astros. And you've got a pair of guys in Aniel De Los Santos, along with Wandy Peralta, who had sub-3.5 ERAs at their previous stop last season. And both of these guys have been great in this Padres bullpen. Yuki Matsui comes over from the Nippon Baseball League. He's been able to do a solid job. Robert Suarez has been pretty solid as well. And for Michael King, he, ever since getting those starts in August and September with the New York Yankees, has posted up in the starter's role a sub-3 ERA. If you take out the long relief appearance that he had out there in the Seoul series, he's been able to do a nice job on this front. Has given up a little bit more hard contact than you'd like, as he did give up a home run in the Seoul series. If you take that out, he's still given up 5 home runs in total over the course of about 24 and two-thirds innings thus far this season, but has really been able to get the strikeouts, north of 9 strikeouts for 9 innings. And I do think that with the Colorado Rockies just flat out not hitting, and the Padres still having Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., a pair of guys that have been able to combine for 10 home runs. Both of these guys hitting north of 260, having Jake Cronenworth having a nice revitalized season. He's been able to give you about a .330 on base. The catcher spot has been much better with Luis Campusano being able to hit about a .290. They don't have some dramatic righty-lefty splits or anything like that as well, that they should be able to get the job done against a guy in Ryan Feltner that it looked like he was turning the corner going into his last start against the Philadelphia Phillies, and then he gets tagged for 6 runs in 5 1/3 innings. He's been able to give you a lot of swings and misses thus far this season, north of 11 punchouts per 9 innings, but overall for his career, it's more around 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. Have to wonder how much of that was just a matter of circumstance. He had a nice start against the Tampa Bay Rays, but past that, I just don't think that these swings and misses are going to be able to continue, and he still has given up at least 2 walks in each of his 4 starts thus far this season. So I do think that the Padres get to Feltner, and I think the Rockies score more than 2 runs in this game, so going to be looking at the over semi-total at 10.7, and with the Padres, I was willing to lay up to a minus 130 on the -1.5 run line. Currently, you're finding that more around even money to minus 110, so looking at that run line, and I'm going to be looking at the total over 913, 914 on the betting board. The New York Mets, they hit the road to face off against the San Francisco Giants. Logan Webb goes for the Giants. Luis Severino is on the bump for the Metropolitan. 7.5 is the total. Over and under both at minus 110. And between minus 146 and minus 155, that number on San Francisco. Between plus 130 and plus 138, your number on the Mets. And circumstance where I'm going to be willing to back Logan Webb at home. If you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Mets, you're getting right around about plus 135, plus 140. Honestly, I would rather lay a chalkier money line in this spot. I need at least a plus 132 to take a shot on the run line, but money line, I was willing to go up to a minus 158 with the Giants, and I do anticipate this being a little bit of a lower scoring game. I am going to be willing to take the 7.5 over, but semi-total more around a 7.9. Logan Webb has just been so dominant at home throughout his career. He's got an ERA that's more than a full point better when he's at home rather than away from home for his career, and overall this season, .29 ERA at home, 4.32 ERA away from home, and his home runs per nine rate at home is about a half a home run per nine. That is his entire career going against a Mets lineup that has really been able to revitalize itself. It's looked much better here in recent weeks, but last 2 nights against the Dodgers and then game number one against the Giants has been a little bit rough, and I think that there's going to be a lot of touch and go with this Mets team all season long. Pete Alonso has been able to supply you with 7 home runs, 330 on base. He's been able to do a nice job, and a lot of these guys that started out the year relatively rough have been able to pick it up. Sans really, Francisco Lindor along with Brandon Nimmo, they're still fighting it a little bit, but you got the likes of a Harrison Bader hitting about a 295. Starling Marte has found a way to be able to move the line while being able to supply 4 home runs. And for the San Francisco Giants, it's not necessarily the world's greatest lineup, but we've got a lot of depth with it, as you've got Matt Chapman along with Jorge Soler, Michael Conforto, all between 4 and 5 home runs this far this season. Chapman is just not doing a great job of being able to get on base, but you've had Soler hit about a 250, Conforto up to about a 270, and love what I'm seeing out of Lamont Wade Jr., 450 on base, 358 batting average. It's a Giants team, though, that has a massive fact that their bullpen has honestly not been tremendous. Getting Luke Jackson off the injured list, I think, is going to be very much of impact. He, last season, was able to be one of their better relievers with a sub-3 ERA. He joins both of the Rodgers brothers, Landon Ropp. These guys have been able to do a nice job. And for the New York Mets, they're currently dealing with an injury to Brooks Raley as well. That has been a little bit less than terrific, as now they're going to be looking a lot to Adam Ottavino to be able to set up for Edwin Diaz, which Edwin Diaz is absolutely amazing, but getting the ball to him, that's a little bit of a different circumstance. Meanwhile, for Luis Severino, just a nice renaissance thus far this season. He has given up 10 runs in 21 innings, but only 5 of which were earned. He has given up 0 or 1 earned runs in each out of his last 3 starts. Swing and miss stuff has been solid. It's not necessarily what it was when he was at peak form with the Yankees or anything like that, but 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. He does need to cut down on the walks, north of 4 walks per 9 innings. I do think that there's going to be a little bit of regression here for Luis Severino, though. I do think that the Giants are going to be able to find a way on and find a way to be able to generate enough offense to be able to get the job done. So, like the money line of the Giants, don't really want to diving on the run line to go along with this total over semi-total at 7.9. 9.15, 9.16 on the bank board. The Cleveland Guardians play us to the Boston Red Sox. Tanner Houck goes for the Sox, and Ben Lively is on the bump for Cleveland. Cleveland is a underdog of anywhere between minus 105 to plus 101, anywhere between minus 108 to minus 115. That number on Boston, 8.5 is the total in some spots, 8 in others. On the 8.5, over and under, both at minus 110. On the 8, overs between minus 115 to minus 125, unders between minus 105 to plus 105. Last time Tanner Houck took the mound, it was against these very Guardians, and he was able to throw a complete game, did so in under 100 pitches. Do you think we're going to see a little bit of reversal here? We've been seeing the Cleveland Guardians really doing a nice job of being a move line, and it did set them as a slight favorite, so going to be willing to dive in on the money line. Though Tanner Houck was very economical with his pitches last time out, he throughout his career has been a little bit more of a strikeout guy. Career about 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, was snake bitten by some very bad luck season ago. Last year, you take a look at the 5 ERA. It was backed up by a fielding independent more around a 4.45, and I do think that you're starting to see a little bit of that positivity moving forward. That's far the season, just 28 strikeouts to 2 walks. It's been absolutely incredible through 26 and 2/3 innings, and I do think that the walks are going to creep up. I don't think he's really ever completed a season which he's had fewer than 2.7 walks per 9 innings, but for Ben Lively, he's a little bit of a pitcher contact guy. Made just 1 start this far this season against these very Red Sox, and wasn't bad. Gave up 2 runs in 5 innings over there at Fenway, was able to strike out 7. Last year, he had a problem giving up the deep ball, giving up 2 home runs per 9 innings, but got about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. Only gave up about 2.5 walks per 9 as well. And for Boston, they're very much dealing with a whole bunch of injuries. They should be able to get back Tyler O'Neill for this one, and that's big. He was on the concussion 7-day injury list. He was providing 7 home runs, so getting him back, that is big. And you got Tristan Casas providing about a 345 on base. He's been able to supply 6 home runs as well, but you're dealing with an injury to Rafael Devers. It's not been great, to say the least. And it comes down to what you're going to be able to get out of the young guys. Wyler Abreu along with Jaron Duran. Both of these guys hitting north of a 280. But that said, you've got a lot of guys that just have not been able to live up to their billing. Pablo Reyes along with David Hamilton, Sedine, Rafaela, Emmanuel Valdez. These are guys hitting below the middle line of 200. And for the Boston Red Sox, the bullpen hasn't been amazing, but it's been relatively solid. Kenley Jansen, when you get him into a not super duper pressure pack situation, typically comes through through for you. Chris Martin at its up to ERA a season ago. Brandon Bernardino has made him hold down the fourth. This team's about 13th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Just doesn't hold a candle, though, to this Cleveland Guardians team. Currently number two in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. You've got so many guys who are able to come out of this pen and are able to give you some very, very good innings, as you've got Emmanuel Clase, who, no doubt about it, is one of the best closers out there in the big leagues. But Peter Strzelecki, Nick Sandlin, even some like Cade Smith, Eli Morgan, these are all guys providing a sub-330 ERA. And for the lineup, they've got a bit more pop than they did a season ago. Last year, they were by far dead last in the big leagues in terms of total home runs. Not like they're necessarily lighting it up in terms of home runs this year. 22 home runs in 22 games, but Naylor Square, Josh, and Bo Naylor have been solid, with Josh really being the main guy, hitting a .325, six home runs thus far this season. But got a lot of guys that they were just guys that in general were looking to make contact, find a way on base last season, but they're doing a much better job of it this season. Andrés Giménez, Gabriel Urias, along with Stephen Kwan, have all been able to hit at least a .290 for this team. Do need to get a little bit more from some of these guys like Will Brennan, Brian Rocchio. These are guys that aren't giving you a lot of power. They're not necessarily doing the world's greatest job of finding a way on base, but this has been a Cleveland Guardians team that has been much better at the plate this season. They do hit lefties significantly better than righties, so that's going to be hurting them a little bit. And between an 8.5 to an 8, I would personally rather take the 8.5 under rather than the 8 over. I did set my total at an 8.2, and Cleveland is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, but I do think that with Lively having this bullpen backing him like he does, I do think that he does just enough to be able to get the job done for Cleveland. So looking at Cleveland on the money line, set them as a -113 favorite, and going to be taking a look at this little under at an 8.5, set my total at an 8.2. 9.17, 9.18 on the betting board. The Detroit Tigers hit the road. They're facing off against the Tampa Bay Rays. Ryan Pepiota is on the bump for the Rays, and Kenta Maeda is on the bump for Detroit. Detroit is an underdog of anywhere between +140 and +147, seeing a +152 surface out there as well. Between -155 to -166, that number on the Rays, 8 is the total. Under is between -110 to a -115. Over is between -105 to a -110, and going to be willing to back the Rays. Did set them as a favorite of -151, so going to be going in on the run line. Right now seeing this between +130 to +135 to lay a run F, and I'm very comfortable with that, with the way that Kenta Maeda has been absolutely terrible this far this season. He's got an ERA of north of a 760 and a fielding independent that's right around about an 840, giving up north of 3 home runs per 9 innings. Has just been getting tattooed in every aspect of baseball. He's given up 7 walks in 17 and 2/3 innings. He's not lending length. He's not keeping the ball in the yard. He's not getting strikeouts. It's just been rough, to say the least. And for Ryan Pepiot, he's got a 4.37 ERA, but a fielding independent far lower than that, which is ironic because last year with the Dodgers, he had a sub-250 ERA, but a fielding independent that was more around 4. But he's done a nice job this season of being able to get those swings and misses. 27 strikeouts in 22 and 2/3 innings thus far this season, and 6+ strikeouts in each out of his last 3 starts. They give up a pair of home runs when he faced off against the San Francisco Giants at home a little bit earlier in the season, but on all last 3 starts, he's given up a combined 5 runs, filled at least 5 innings in every one of them, and he's backed up by a Tampa Bay Rays bullpen that, to this point this season, they've been in the bottom 8 in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. I do think that you're going to be seeing them get back online. We have seen Pete Fairbanks be just all out of sorts thus far this season. Chris Savinski, Phil Maton, the former Astros, have not been tremendous, but still have the likes of Garrett Clevenger, Jason Adam, who have been able to do a solid job. Colin Pouche has been a little bit up and down, and they do have to face off against a Tigers bullpen that is in the top 3 in the big leagues in terms of their ERA. You don't necessarily have that one guy that necessarily seals the show, as Jason Foley has been the primary closer, and he has been tremendous, but and just take a look at all these guys. Andrew Chafin, Shelby Miller, Will Vest, Tyler Holton, they're all providing a sub-250 ERA, but you do have a Tigers lineup that, in general, has been having a little bit of a rough go of it. To their credit, they've been able to turn things around a little bit more recently. They've been able to put up 4+ runs in now 6 out of their last 7 games, but they're still not necessarily supplying the deep ball. They've got a combined 15 home runs over the course of 22 games thus far this season, and not a lot of guys that, in general, do a great job of being able to move the line. As a matter of fact, their top 3 hitters in terms of total at bats, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, along with the rookie in Keith, Colt Keith, they're all hitting a .231 or lower. You've had Kerry Carpenter hit above a .300 with 3 home runs. Mark Canna, yes, he can give you a .400 on base, 4 home runs as well, but these guys like Jason Rogers, really the entirety of the catcher spot, Parker Meadows, they have been a little bit rough, and Gio Urshela has been your main constant in being able to find a way on base. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, you need Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena to pick it up. These guys are at the top of the fold, and both of these guys hitting a .222 or lower. They're not giving you a lot in terms of on base, a combined 3 home runs between the two of them. That's been less than terrific as Isaac Paredes has really had to carry the team in terms of a power perspective. 5 home runs, 355 on base. Amid Rosario has found a way on as well, hitting north of a 350. And like what I've seen out of Jerry Calabreo as well, not going to take a lot of walks, but finds a way on. I do think that the Tampa Bay Rays going up against Kenta Maeda, they're going to be able to get this offense online. So I'm going to be taking a look at the Rays laying a run and a half. I'm willing to take a plus 130 or higher there. And did somebody tell it at 8.3? I think that Pepiot is going to give up a little bit of contact in general to the Seager seam, but find a way to be able to get the Rays to a nice multi run win, as I do think that the woes for Maeda continue. So looking at the run line of the Rays and the total over 919, 920 on the betting board, the Oakland A's, they're facing off against the New York Yankees. Marcus Stroman goes for the Yankees, and Paul Blackburn walks the plank for Oakland, and Oakland does find themselves as a big underdog, anywhere between plus 175 to plus 185, between minus $2, minus 220 is your number on the Yankees. 8 is the total, over and under between minus 105 to minus 115, and anything at plus 170 or higher was willing to take a shot on the Oakland A's. You've seen Paul Blackburn give up a few walks this far this season, and after he got nearly 9 strikeouts per 9 innings a season ago, back to being a little bit more of a pitcher contact guy. 18 strikeouts in 25 innings this far this season, and I think that last year was a little bit of an outlier in terms of the strikeout numbers, but has done a nice job of being able to induce soft contact, and the last few seasons has been a little bit of an underrated pitcher going up against a guy in Marcus Stroman that he's been relatively solid thus far this season, but that said, you always have to have your trepidations with him. He's got a 2.42 ERA, but a fielding independent closer to 4 as he pitches quite a bit of contact as well, getting about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. His main specialty being able to get ground balls, as that is what he's really looking to be able to do. He has given up nearly 3.6 walks per 9 innings as well, so that's a little bit of concern. He's backed up by a Yankees bullpen that honestly is relatively online with the Oakland A's. Both of these teams have top 10 bullpens with regards to ERA. You've been able to have some relatively solid innings for this New York Yankees team out of the likes of Ron Mananacchio over the last few seasons. I know that they've been throwing out their Nick Birdie a little bit. He's honestly been very good. And Clay Holmes at the closer spot has yet to allow an earned run, so he's done a nice job on that front. But the guys that they picked up from the LA Dodgers, more specifically Caleb Ferguson, just have not necessarily been able to pay dividends quite yet. Dennis Santana has been a little bit up and down. And then for the Oakland A's, this team is in the top 8 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Mason Miller, I believe, should still be a starter, but he has been tremendous in that closer spot. You've got so many guys that are right now supplying you with a sub-3 ERA. Danny Jimenez is right at a 3 ERA, but Lucas Ursage, Austin Adams, these guys have come in. They've really been able to hold down the fort, and that's been big because the Oakland A's currently a bottom 3 team in the big leagues with regards to run scoring. You do have a pair of guys in Shea Langeliers, Brent Rooker, who have both been able to give you 4 home runs. Both of these guys hitting below the Mendoza line of a 200. Not sure why Esteri Ruiz was ever sent down to the minor league level, but was one of the top ACOs in all of baseball a season ago. He's got 2 home runs and 16 at bats, so he's been able to pay a lot of dividends as well, but you've got all but 3 players I've seen at least 1 at-bat this year hitting a 235 or lower. So I do think that for the Oakland A's, that's going to be a little bit rough, though. If you do take a look at the Baseball Savant numbers, not saying that the Oakland A's by the end of the year are going to be hitting like Albert Bell or anything like that, but that said, if you look at the expected batting average, they've been hitting about 14 points lower than that expected batting average. And for the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge has just been miserable at the plate this far this season. He has been able to still supply 3 home runs, but hitting just a .174. Anthony Rizzo has not necessarily been himself as well. He, Gleyber Torres, Giancarlo Stanton, only a .232 or lower, though Stanton has been able to give you 5 home runs. It's been Juan Soto who's been really the straw that serves the drink. 440 on base, 5 home runs. He's going to get paid in the offseason. And Anthony Volpe as Waldo Cabrera, they're falling off a little bit from their hot starts of the season, but still finding a way to be able to move the line. But I do think that this number has just gone a little bit too far. I feel like the reputation of the Oakland A's is providing us a lot of good value on them, and I'm going to be willing to take that A's money line once again. I'm going to be taking a look at Oakland, being able to get a plus 170 or higher. And with regards to total, I did set my total at an 8.2. I haven't loved what I've seen on Marcus Stroman thus far, and I do think that Blackburn, being a pitcher contact guy, sees a little bit of regression as well. So looking at the over and the A's on the money line, 921, 922 on the betting board. The Toronto Blue Jays at the Reds are facing off against the Kansas City Royals. Michael Wacha, and if he gets destroyed, he becomes Michael Wacha 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 Wacha. Dying Pac-Man voice for Mr. Wacha. He goes for the Royals. Kevin Gausman is on the bump for Toronto. Toronto's between a minus 117 to a minus 120 favor. Between even money and plus 108, that is your number on Kansas City. In half is the total. The under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. Over is between even and minus 110. Set the Blue Jays at a minus 117. I'm seeing one straight minus 116 out there. This is a max I'm going to be willing to lay with the Blue Jays, but I am going to be willing to lay it with Kevin Gausman. He was dealing with some arm fatigue in spring training and clearly has not been himself this far this season. North of an 80 ERA. I do think that he's going to start to find it a little bit more, and I thought that the start that he had against the Yankees, so he did walk three, and that's very uncharacteristic of him. Typically, he's given up only about like two and a half walks per nine innings, so I do think that that's still a little bit of a concern, but he looked a little bit better in that start. He was able to get six strikeouts in five innings. The velocity was starting to climb back up, so that's an encouraging sign. And for Michael Wacha, he has spent the last few seasons on just a different team every single year. Spent a year with the Padres, the Red Sox, the Rays, the Royals, and he's been pretty rock solid with all those teams. But if you take a look at the ERA compared to his fielding independence at the beginning part of the 2021 season, as a fielding independent about 0.6 points higher than his ERA, he's solid with regards to swings and misses, not tremendous about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings these last few seasons, and has done a nice job of locating just 6 walks in 24 innings thus far this season, but he got tattooed last time out against the New York Mets. He also faced off against the Chicago White Sox, and if you can't handle the Chicago White Sox, not sure what to tell you. So you take out the two starts against the Chicago White Sox, he's given up 3-plus runs in the other two starts. So I do think that's a little bit of a worry sign. And for the Royals, this has been a bullpen that to date this season, they've honestly been solid. They are 12th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. I just don't know how long-lasting this is going to be. Will Smith, Chris Tran, they come over from the Texas Rangers, relatively untrustworthy guys. You've got Nick Anderson, who just has not been too tremendous for the team, and James MacArthur. I just don't see a lot of upside there. And for the Blue Jays, this has been one of the worst bullpens in the big leagues thus far this season, but now you've got back the full Jordan Romano along with Eric Swanson, two of your most trustworthy guys from the season ago, and now they're getting reacclimated. The big thing for the Blue Jays, though, that would be the bats. You've got Dalton Varsho, who's been able to supply 6 home runs. Nobody else has been able to give you north of 3, and it's been Justin Turner, who's been really the lone constant in terms of being able to move the line. North of a 400 base, hitting 300, he's been rock solid. And then you have Vladimir Jr., giving you a 350 on base, but he's hitting just a 230. We've seen George Springer hit right around about a 200 thus far this season. Alejandro Kirk, Davis Schneider, Kevin Kiermaier, these guys at the bottom fold haven't necessarily been able to find a lot for this team. And when you're not necessarily having great power numbers, you're not doing a great job of being able to get on base, that is a little bit of a concern, especially when you go up against a Royals team that they do have some thumpers in the lineup, but this Royals lineup is very royally all or nothing. You currently do have 5 different guys with at least 4 home runs. MJ Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, Miguel Garcia, Vinny Pascantino, though for Garcia, just a 224 on base as far this season. MJ Melendez, only about a 230, but Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, these guys have been very good at being able to find a way on base, but there's a lot of top-heaviness. The catcher spot, other than Salvador Perez, when you have him out of the fold, that's been an issue. Kyle Isbell, Adam Frazier, Garrett Hampson, these are guys that aren't necessarily giving you a ton, so it's a very interesting spot. I do think that Kevin Gausman is starting to find himself once again. I do think that he's going to do a solid job against this Royals team, and I do think that regression is going to start to set in on Michael Wacha, especially with Gausman not necessarily at 100% right now. Could it be willing to take a look at the over, set my total at 8.7, but at a minus 117 or less, could it be willing to take that Blue Jays money line? 923, 924 on the bank board. The Chicago White Sox at the road face off against the Minnesota Twins. Pablo Lopez is on the bump for the Twins, and got Eric Fetty Wap on the bump for the White Sox. 7.5 is the total. Under is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 125. Over is anywhere between plus 105 to minus 110. For the Minnesota Twins, you're laying anywhere between minus 250 to minus 267. Between plus 210 and plus 325, that number on the White Sox. And if you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Twins, you're going to be laying between about minus 120 to a minus 130. And this was a total that opened up at 8, by the way, and I'm still willing to take a look at the under semi-total at 7.4. The White Sox right now are averaging 2.1 runs per contest. They were finally finding someone that was able to put the ball in play in Paul DeJong, and now he's been dealing with a little bit of, shall we say, ups and downs as well. He's now hitting about a 234, and you just take a look at this White Sox lineup. They're averaging about a half a home run per game at this point. They just can't find guys to be able to put the ball in play. Gavin Sheets is hitting about a 254. He is the only, like, healthy player on the roster right now that's hitting above a 243. And I'm not even kidding when I say that. You've got so many guys that have just been a big giant pile of doo-doo right now. The Andrews and Andrew Vaughn, Andrew Benintendi, Eloy Jimenez, Lennon Sosa, Kevin Pillar, all these guys, they're hitting a .176 or lower. Meanwhile, you've got a Minnesota Twins team that really has not been a whole heck of a lot better going into the series sitting as a collective of a .95, so that's a bit of an issue, but Byron Buxton, at the very least, has a track record of success, still has as many home runs as myself, and a 250 on base. He has been miserable, but Alex Kirilloff has been able to give you about a 325 on base. Ryan Jeffers is finding a way to move the line. He's got 3 home runs, and though he's not hitting for average, Edouard Julien has been able to supply 5 home runs this far this season. Both of these teams have just been really rough at the plate. And for Eric Fetty, since coming back from the KBO, he's been able to do a relatively solid job. 4 starts, he's given up 8 runs, 7 of which are earned now, has been giving up a lot of hard contact. He has given up 5 home runs in 20 and a third innings. His fielding independent far above that 3.10 ERA with the amount of hard contact that he's given up. And he has also given up 9 walks in the time span as well. But that said, he looks much better than the pitcher that we saw with the Washington Nationals. And for Pablo Lopez, he just year in and year out always has a fielding independent that's much better than his ERA. He's been able to get a little bit north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's only given up 4 walks in north of 22 innings, but he just has been a little bit unlucky with men in scoring position. He has given up already 3 home runs this far this season, but I do think that for Pablo Lopez, things are going to be able to balance out for him. 3.97 ERA thus far, a fielding independent more around a 3.43, and facing off against the White Sox, that should be able to really help him out, as both of these bullpens as well have not been too bad. The White Sox, they're honestly in the top half of the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. Jordan Leisure has leisurely been able to do a solid job. Michael Kopech has not been terrible. You get John Brebbia back in the fold. So, I mean, these guys have all down the fort. And for the Minnesota Twins, even with Yoan Duran currently being out of the fold, they're a top 6 team with regards to bullpen ERA. These likes of Cody Funderburk, Brock Stewart, Steven Okert, they've done a really nice job of folding down the fort. So, I do think that you get a lower scoring game, but I just don't know if the White Sox can even get 2 runs for you in this spot. So I'm going to be willing to lay the run line of the Twins, willing to lay up to a minus 133 on that run line. Somebody told 7.4, so also looking at the 7.5 under, 925, 926 on the main board. The Seattle Mariners hit the road face-off against the Walker Texas Rangers as Dane Dunning looks to get her Dunning for Texas, and Logan Gilbert is on the bump for Seattle. 9 is the total, under is minus 115, the over is minus 105, and with Texas, find them anywhere between even money to minus 105. Meanwhile, between minus 105 to minus 115, that number on Seattle. And have been quite impressed by Logan Gilbert thus far this season, but I do think that the Rangers could be able to get a little bit more online with their offense at home. I'm going to be willing to make the Rangers a minus 122 favorite, so going to be willing to back them on the money line for Logan Gilbert thus far this season. He's posting up a 2.33 ERA and has done a nice job of being able to get even more swings and misses than ever before. 9.5 punchouts and 1.3 walks per 9 innings. Fielding independent though, 3.43 compared to that 2.33 ERA. He has been giving up a little bit of hard contact when the ball's been put in play already, giving up 4 home runs in his 4 starts thus far this season. And for Texas, you noticed this with them last season as well. They were honestly one of the worst home run teams when they were away from home last season, but led the American League in home runs when they were at home a season ago. And Adolis Garcia, he has been absolutely raking. He and Marcus Simeon, a combined 10 home runs, both of these guys providing at least a 340 on base, and in the case of Garcia, hitting a 325. He was always able to hit for power. The average was always a little bit of a question mark. That is now there. Corey Seager has been uncharacteristically cold to begin the season. Just 1 home run, 345 on base. I do think that he's going to be able to find it sooner rather than later. You've been able to see Josh Smith find a way to be able to move the line with about a 400 on base as well, so I do think that the Rangers, they're going to be able to figure this out, and they're going to be able to get back on kilter. And for Dane Dunning, he has just been much more stunning when he's been at home rather than away from home. Ever since he joined the Texas Rangers, his ERA is about 1.7 points lower at home rather than away from home. Now, last year, we did see a little bit of reversal on that, but I do think that he's going to be able to give you a relatively good start. He's been able to up his swing and miss stuff from a season ago last year, was only getting about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, back up to about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. So the walks are a bit of an issue. At least 2 walks given up in each of his 4 starts. He has been posting up about a walks per 9 rate of 5. That was a little bit of an issue towards the beginning part of his career. And he has given up 5 home runs thus far this season in his 4 starts. But you look at the Seattle Mariners lineup, and they just don't have a lot of thumping power in the lineup. You've got Oriol Polanco, Mitch Haniger, both with 3 home runs for Polanco, hitting a miserable .173 as he, J.P. Crawford, you're able to throw in there, the likes of Luke Rayleigh, Dylan Moore. These are all guys hitting a 200 or lower, but I've had Haniger be able to give you about a 345 on base, hitting a 270. And Julio Rodriguez is hitting for average. He's hitting a 275. That's been fine. 0 home runs thus far this season. Cal Raleigh, big dumper, has been able to give you 5 home runs. And honestly, he's on a nice little bit of a hot streak in general. But all in all, it's been a Seattle Mariners team that's been pretty miserable at the plate this far this season. And he's been playing low-scoring slogs as a result. You've got a lot of reclamation projects in the Seattle Mariners bullpen, and they become pretty much a West Coast version of the Rays. They're able to just unearth these guys and turn them into really good relievers. They pick up Ryan Stanek, Tyson Miller in the offseason, but guys like Gabe Spire, Trent Thornton, Taylor Cicado that were left for dead, they've been able to do a great job with them. They did have Matt Brash go down with an injury, but Andres Munoz has been able to hold down the fort end for Texas. They did upgrade their bullpen in the offseason. They bring in Kirby Yates, David Robertson. They've been able to do a fine job. I like Jordan Lantz in the bullpen as well, though. You've been seeing a little bit of a roll of the dice with Jose Leclerc, but I do think that for Dane Dunning, he's going to be able to calm things down a little bit more, and I do think that him being at home is just so paramount in this start. So I'm going to be willing to back the Texas Rangers on the money line. Did set them at a minus 122, and both of these teams have been a little bit uncharacteristically cold to begin the season at the place. So I did set my total at an 8.7 here at the 9, diving in on the under to go along with that Rangers money line, 927, 928 on the betting board. The Baltimore Orioles are on the road. They're facing off against the LA Angels as Griffin Canning goes for the Angels, and Grayson Rodriguez is on the bump for the Orioles. Orioles between minus 145 to minus 155 favorites, between plus 130 to plus 136, that number on the Angels. In FNC total, overs between minus 110 to a minus 120, the under sitting between even and minus 110. If you're looking to lay a run half with the Orioles, you're only getting about a plus 110. I would rather take a chalkier money line, not really willing to go any further than about a minus 145. I set my number at a minus 147, but here at this summer, I'm going to be willing to lay it. Griffin Canning has had a miserable start to the season. 8.05 ERA, giving up 5 home runs in 19 innings, and his start against the Baltimore Orioles gave up 5 runs over the course of 5 innings. Didn't look better in his last start, though. Against the Tampa Bay Rays, gives up 2 runs in 5 and a third innings after giving up 4-plus runs each of his first 3 starts, and the just overall strikeout numbers, they're down from just 16 strikeouts in 19 innings thus far this season. That's been a big reason why he's had his struggles, but I do think that's going to be going a little bit northward, and just throughout his career, he's been a little bit unlucky in general, but now he has to go up against Grayson Rodriguez. He has given up 3 earned runs or fewer in each out of his last 16 regular season starts. He has given up just 3 home runs in 24 innings. He's getting 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, and that's a big thing as well. When he resurfaced at the big league level after being sent down to the minor leagues after his first major league stint was not so great a season ago, he was really not getting as many strikeouts towards the back half of the 2023 campaign, but he learned to locate, and he's been able to do a solid job thus far this season. 8 walks in 24 innings. That's a walks per 9 rate, hovering right around 3. You'll take that if you're the Baltimore Orioles, and for the Orioles, right now, they lead the league in home runs. 33 bombs so far this season, as you've had Anthony Santander, Jordan Westberg, along with Cedric Mullins, Ryan O'Hearn, Gunnar Henderson, all provide at least 4 home runs thus far this season. Ryan Mountcastle has been a little bit cold with the home run ball, but he, Adley Rutschman, Jordan Westberg, they're all hitting at least a 305. Gunnar Henderson is providing about a 350 on base. This Orioles team is so deep that you're able to platoon for righties and lefties, so they have no real weak points. And for the Orioles, they got a really nice start yesterday out of Albert Suarez, so the bullpen is a little bit more rested than expected. They did have to use up Yennier Cano, Craig Kimbrell yesterday, but all in all, it's been a Baltimore Orioles bullpen that's been about league average. Nothing great, nothing terrible. Mike Bauman has been a guy that's been able to hold down the 40, was used up yesterday, but I like Dylan Tate, Jacob Webb being relatively good to go here. Both of these guys have been nice as far as the season. And for the LA Angels, this is a bullpen that ranks in the bottom 10 in terms of ERA. This is right the fact that Matt Moore, Carlos Cezeves, a really nice 8th and 9th inning duo. You've been able to get just no production whatsoever out of some of these older guys. Like, you've had Jose Cicerano, Hunter Strickland get lit up. I do think that Adam Simber has a little bit of potential, and Carson Fulmer has been relatively solid for this team as well, but for the LA Angels, the top heaviness of this lineup is really killing them. You've had Mike Trout, Taylor Ward be tremendous as far this season. 14 home runs between the two of them, but they've got 14 of the team's 23 home runs thus far this season. Then you've got guys like a Noah Chenal, Mickey Moniak, Zach Neto, Ahir Andreanza, Mickey Moniak. Again, I'll mention him because he's got a 208 on base. All these guys hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. Anthony Rendon, not that he's been like amazing or anything like that. He goes on the injured list as well. That hurts him even further. You've had Logan Ohapi, Miguel Sano, both move the line with about a 380 on base, but it's a very top-heavy Angels lineup, and without Trout hitting home runs, this team is just essentially doomed, and I think that Rodriguez going to be able to keep the ball in the yard. Did somebody tell it at 8.8? I do think that the Orioles could be able to rip some shots off of Griffin Canning and the bullpen, so do like this one over, and I'm willing to lay up to a minus 145 with this Orioles money line, and we're going to have things up with 929, 930 on the betting board. The Houston Astros hit the road. They're facing off against the Chicago Cubs as Jordan Wicks is on the bump for the Cubs, and JP France goes for Houston. Houston is between a minus 107 to a minus 115 favorite. Between minus 103 to minus 105 is your number on the Chicago Cubs. Right now, only Circa has a number up on the total because of the Wrigley Field win situation. Total is 10 over and under, both at minus 110. And as of right now, I'm going to be willing to dive in on the under. Did set my total at a 9.8 because the wind is going to be blowing out to begin the day and most likely begin the game, but it might be blowing in by the time this game wraps up. It's not necessarily a warm day out there in Wrigley. It's going to be in the low to mid 50s, so something to watch out for. And Jordan Wicks, he is the embodiment of Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn. He's got the glasses on, and he's been giving up nearly 5 walks per 9 innings, but 12.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. Has done a nice job on that front, and despite the fact that he's got got an ERA hovering right around 5. His fielding independents are near 2 points lower, so I did set the Chicago Cubs as a minus 138 favorite. I'm going to be willing to dive in on the money line. JP France was very lucky a season ago. He was able to post up an ERA that was very, very good, especially on the road. On the road, he had a sub-250 ERA. Overall, his ERA was a 383, but fielding independent was more around a 450, as he only got about 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. His strikeouts per 9 rate thus far this season, closer to about 7, but he's given up 4 walks per 9 innings. He's been getting hit relatively hard, as he has given up at least 3 runs in 3 out of his 4 starts thus far this season. And for the Astros, they just don't back him up with the same amount of bullpen depth that we've seen in past years. As in past years, I know that Phil Maton is not the world's greatest guy, but he, Ryan Stanek, Hector Neris, who's actually now on the Cubs, they were relatively solid bullpen pieces. You pick up Josh Hader in the offseason, and, well, not to be a hater, but he has not been so great this far this season. He and Ryan Presley, that 8th and 9th inning duo, has been far from terrific. Taylor Scott has honestly been relatively okay. Brian Abreu has a track record of success, but for the Astros, it seems as in the bottom 5 of the big leagues right now. In terms of bullpen ERA, the Chicago Cubs have not necessarily been amazing themselves, but you've been able to have Hector Neris, who comes over from the Houston Astros. He's able to hold down the fort. Jose Kwas, after he was so good last season, he just has not been terrific, but got guys like Luke Little, Cody Bolton, who have been able to do a nice job of getting into the 9th inning and being able to bring in their Adbert Alzolay. And for the Cubs, they don't necessarily have the same lineup that the Astros do have, but you've had Michael Busch be able to supply 6 home runs. He was on a streak last week where he had a home run in 5 straight games. Cody Bellinger is starting to bust out as well. He had a miserable start to the season, but he, Christopher Morel, combined 7 home runs. Both of these guys have had a little bit of a tough time with their average, both hitting at 225 or lower, but Bellinger still giving you about a 320 on base. Ian Happ has found a way on, despite the fact that the power has not been there. About a 350 on base. Nico Horner is starting to heat up as he, Mike Talman, are both giving you north of a 370 on base. And for the Astros, Jose Abreu has been absolutely awful since they signed up. He's hitting below a .125 right now, but Yennier Diaz at the catcher spot, he's been able to supply 3 home runs, hitting at .290. We've got Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, both are supplying north of a .370 on base. These two guys, along with Kyle Tucker, 5 home runs apiece, and Tucker's hitting about a .275, while Jeremy Pena, even though he hasn't necessarily been able to provide a bunch of homers, he's hitting well above a .300 after last year was a little bit of a down year for him. So I do think that the Astros are going to do a solid job, be able to put bat to ball, but with the win situation, I do think that that's going to mute the offense just a little bit. So you're at the 10 looking at the under. Now for the Cubs, I think that they get the job done and continue the Astros struggles. Set them at a minus 138. So look at Cubs money line and at a 10 or higher under. And that'll wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, the Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, do have one of 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XIMeline, @JNN_41. Keep in mind, Lord's EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season, and that means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.